The way we consume and share news today, it is largely rooted in social media outlets, a reason why it's crucial to look at what's being discussed online, because frankly, there's just a lot of noise to weed through for our social media. And we're joined by Erica in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Lots of exciting events. I tell you, I went to the Maroon 5 concert.
Yes.
That's the last time
with
I'll
your brother.
Brag.
No, you can brag all you want.
No, because I realized it was a very short, maybe 2-day show. Uh-huh. So not a lot of people got to go. So I'm going to stop. It was great. But I only bring it up because there are new venues in the works.
Right.
This is one of the newer ones over in Incheon, and it's impeccable. The sound quality, the lighting, even the seating has cushion.
I went there once a few the one you went to.
Inspire Arena.
Okay.
Which one are you talking
about? That is new. No, I'm talking about Gucheok Skydome, which has been around for a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. But Gucheok Skydome is still touted as one of the newer ones.
That's right. I went there to see Metallica live in Seoul, which was awesome.
Now I can brag to you. Clearly, on top of her concert game. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the Gucheok Skydome.
Yes.
This is why it's relevant. The 2024 MLB World Tour Series, well, it's going to be hosted at the Gucheok Skydome,
which is a baseball stadium.
Yes.
Here in, well, the western part of Seoul. It's spruced up its facilities and also its safety measures.
Okay.
Because next week, Major League Baseball World Tour is going to be here in
Seoul.
Am
I the only one who knew that the MLB does a world tour? You know,
maybe
it took me a second and I realized this is a thing, and it's kind of a glorious moment for baseball fans here and abroad. People will travel to Korea for this, right?
Yes, tens of thousands of people actually. The opening series of Major League Baseball between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres will be held from March 20th to the 21st, so that's next week. The two will be the first MLB regular season games to be played here in Korea.
Okay, so I'm not even going to get to tickets because I feel like that was already really competitive, but what kind of upgrades has the stadium seen?
Yeah, so the facilities have been upgraded to make sure that, you know, the players can play in the best possible conditions. So in collaboration with MLB, the stadium's 11,500 square meter artificial turf has been replaced to meet global standards. The color has also become a little bit more sophisticated. It's a two-tone color now.
Okay.
Lighting has been improved as well. All existing metal halide floodlights were replaced with eco-friendly LED lights. Enhancements of the stadium's facility also extend to upgrades in premium seats for spectators. There's also new photo zones around the stadium and the creation of green parks around the stadium as well.
Okay, so places to rest if the conditions are right after or before the game starts. Now, Seoul Mayor Oh Se-won visited the stadium on Tuesday to review crowd management strategies and the upgraded facilities.
Yep.
He was there to maybe emphasize the importance of safety, environmental features both for players and spectators to ensure everybody has a safe experience.
Which is important because more than 100,000 local and international baseball fans are expected to flock to the stadium. Now, to prepare for the large crowd, the city government, the MLB, and other related agencies, including the Gurugu District Office, police and fire departments, they're all coming together to form a comprehensive sort of system to manage on-site activities and address contingency plans in the event of possible emergencies. Now, MLB has announced plans to deploy 400 safety personnel inside and outside the stadium. Now, this is 3 times the average number of personnel deployed for professional baseball games. So safety is, you know, high on top of the list of priorities. There are also going to be a thorough identification and security checks for everybody entering the stadium. There's also going to be an on-site command center inside the stadium to respond with any issues in a swift manner.
Okay, here's another concern. When it comes to MLB goods, there's a lot of counterfeits and fakes out there. Now, that clearly infringes on MLB's intellectual property rights. The city's very well aware of it. So how are they planning to deal with these kinds of issues?
Yes, so the city's Autonomous Police Commission and the Intellectual Property Office are going to engage in special crackdowns and also awareness campaigns near subway stations and at the stadium.
Okay, so they're going to just launch
Yeah.
Counterfeit police, if you will.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so don't do it. On to our second story this morning. We've talked about the return of vinyl records popularity. Yep. Now, it's so relevant and popular, it's being used as a measurement. Over in the UK, it returned to UK inflation basket for the very first time since 1992.
That's right. So not since that year, 1992, have vinyl records been included in the basket of goods used to calculate annual inflation.
I'm just gonna look at when CDs were created.
But a rise in sales over recent years has brought them back as a marker of UK shop prices. The Office for National Statistics in the UK said the resurgence of popularity in vinyl records means they're going to be included among the 744 items that are used to calculate inflation every month. Now, sales of vinyls were given an extra push in the UK last year by, well, none other than Taylor Swift, her album 1989 Taylor's Version, which was, FYI, the biggest selling vinyl record last year.
Okay.
Now, according to data from the UK Record Labels Association, vinyl sales reached 5.9 million units just in 2023 alone, which is the highest annual level since the year 1990. Now, the association says the growing popularity of CDs among younger buyers means they could be included in the inflation basket in a few years as well. You know, I can attest to the fact that vinyls are popular amongst the younger generation because we have a record player at our school in the lounge.
Was that always there?
No. One of the students actually brought his own record player so that everyone can enjoy it along with, you know, some, you know, records.
This
some
is a
vinyls,
cool thing to do,
right?
Apparently.
And kids love it.
I wish I kept my vinyl records.
Yeah, me too.
I think when I was much younger, there were, you know, it comes in waves,
yeah.
You know, popularity of vinyl records, the crackle and the pop and like people who love music. You can imagine. It was a trendy thing to do. And I gave it away when I moved.
I remember back in the early 2000s, I was dating a guy at the time who was super into like old vinyls.
Oh,
and
so
we used
cool.
to go to all these like flea markets to dig up old records, which was fun at the time. And then they disappeared.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah, all those shops.
You know, what? And these days you have to drop bigger money for the newer records. I bet you the 1989 Taylor version is not found at those vintage markets. But anyway, the popularity is clearly here to stay.
Uh-huh.
The much loved format has seen demand grow consistently.
Yeah. Demand grow consistently over the last two decades,
okay.
including, like I said, among younger consumers who stream every day, but they also love to own their favorite music on physical formats as well.
Mm.
Now, vinyl records were among the 16 items to join the inflation basket after 15 of them were dropped. And I thought I would mention some of them, like what's been newly added
yes.
to the inflation basket. So air fryers were among the entries. I mean, they became super popular all over the world during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
Another cooking favorite, spray oil, along with gluten-free bread, have been added as well. Items removed from the basket could include hand sanitizer. I guess the worst days of the pandemic have become a distant memory for all of us.
But I might add, should we just continue to use hand sanitizers
yes.
frequently?
Yes.
I mean, remember what we're able to do during the pandemic
right.
with the masks and the hand sanitizers
mm-hmm.
and just better personal hygiene.
That's right.
Anyway, so that's been scrapped.
Yep.
What else has been added to the basket?
What else has been added? Rice cakes, sunflower and pumpkin seeds, pre-packed salad, USB sticks, combined takeaway hot drinks, and things that have been removed from the basket include popcorn, sofa beds, takeaway tea, takeaway coffee, bakeware. Roasting tins and baking trays are no longer, you know, I guess popular.
Were we baking more during the pandemic? That could be a guess.
Yes.
Okay. What's wrong with popcorn?
I don't know. I love popcorn. I can't
popcorn.
Believe popcorn goes out of fashion.
Are we not going to the movie theaters?
Yes, exactly. Compared
all
to the
right,
past.
All right. I'm just making educated guesses. I might just be wrong, but so that's one of the indices to look at. Well, how to measure inflation and things that are more expensive.
Yep.
All right, on to our third buzzword this morning. Eric Carmen, the man behind Hungry Eyes and All By Myself singer.
You know, Koreans love this song.
I think everyone recognizes
Everyone recognizes song, but I think the younger generation might be more familiar with the version performed by Celine Dion in 1996, was it?
Yeah.
Well, the singer, Eric Carmen, has died at the age of 74. He was the frontman of the power pop band Raspberries, and he was also the singer of some beloved solo hits, including the one we just heard, All By Myself. Other songs include Never Gonna Fall In Love Again and Hungry Eyes. If you're a fan of Dirty Dancing, you know that song. Carmen's wife announced his death on his official website, and no cause of death has been given yet. So anyways, he was behind all of these huge 70s and 80s hits. You know, he wrote or co-wrote most of Raspberry's songs, including their biggest hit, Go All the Way. And then when the band broke up in 1975, he, you know, started his own solo career that leaned more towards power ballads. His first two singles were huge hits in 1976, All By Myself and Never Gonna Fall In Love Again. They're all based on Sergei Rachmaninoff's, the first one, Piano Concerto No. 2 and Symphony No. 2. I had no idea. I did some research this morning.
And you figured it out.
Yeah.
Eric Carmen passes away at the age of 74, but he leaves behind such a legacy.
Yeah.
Just a number of cover songs. But like you mentioned, the one by Celine Dion is one of the most recognizable.
That's right. And one of my personal favorites, because I love this movie. I grew up with it. It's a
sentimental thing.
Dirty Dancing, Hungry Eyes. Yeah. I listened to the song on my way here on YouTube, and there were so many tributes under that video. People, you know, saying things like, you know, this is my favorite song of all time, and you know, we lost a great talent, things like that. Really beautiful tributes.
What a life he lived. What a life he lived. May you rest in peace. Thank you so much, Erica. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.